And he is holy, isn't he? We serve a holy God. Thank you, praise team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to you about I'm going to see a victory. And before I get into that, while you're standing, we'll just go ahead and start with the first verse, Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's just thank the Lord for that. Lord, I'm so thankful you're for us, God. I'm so thankful that you are going ahead of us. You are for us. Do what you've come to do tonight with the power and the authority in your name, Jesus. We pray it. You may be seated. You've probably heard it said many times, you can't experience a miracle without experiencing an impossible situation. And you can't have a testimony without a test. And you cannot have a victory without a battle. And although we don't plan for these things, they just kind of take us by surprise a lot of times. It does not take God by surprise. And he uses those things in our life. In 1 Samuel 17, we read of a battle, and that's where David faced a giant named Goliath. And you've most likely heard of this story in Sunday school. You've probably read it in the Word many times. You've probably heard it over the pulpit many times. And it still excites me today. When you get into that story and see all the truths in God's Word and all the things we can learn, it's exciting. When my grandson Austin was about 2 years old, I don't even know if he was two yet, we started talking about this story and going through it. We had our own little homemade bags, our homemade little slingshot, and instead of using a stone, we used gumballs. They're not really smooth, but very sticky. But the reason why we use that is because he was always wanting to throw them in the house, throw them at the door, and he would holler, "I come to you in the name of the Lord," and then he'd take his little slingshot and he'd just throw it. And what was happening there? The truth of God's Word. And when I seen that coming forth in his life and the love for the Word of God, I could only imagine how God is teaching him and training him and going to all the days of his life that he is God. He is bigger and greater than anything, and that he can come to up against anything in the name of the Lord, and we can too. Amen? Amen. And so this story is amazing, and because of that, I kind of want to, instead of just telling you the story, I'm going to be reading a lot of verses, and as we start reading, I want you to just kind of imagine this, just let your mind's eye just see it. 1 Samuel 17:2-11. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then we're going to skip down to verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now Goliath was approximately 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was presented as the Philistine champion. In fact, he is called a champion three times in this chapter. And a champion in ancient literature is someone who fought as an individual on behalf of an entire army or people. The definition for a giant is something unusually large or powerful. And he was definitely a giant. You see, giants are intimidating and they have many names. Just think about giants in your life right now. Fear, sickness, the unknown, finances, circumstances out of your control, broken relationships, jealousy, rejection, discouragement, depression, anxiety, insecurity, the past, and the list can go on and on and on. And I imagine a lot of us are facing some type of giant tonight. For 40 days and nights, Goliath screams words of threats. That's how he operates. That's how giants operate. They try their best to get in your head, and they shout continuously. And then you know what? It's in our minds where the battlefield takes place. And that's where these giants that I just listed, fear and the unknown, they will shout screams. What do they shout? They'll shout, oh, you're never going to get healed of that sickness. Oh, you're never going to get over that. That relationship will never be restored. Notice the place where Goliath appears. It's in the Valley of Elah. Now, that's an enormous valley. On one mountain, you have the army of Israel, and on the other mountain, you have the Philistines, and in the middle is the Valley of Elah, and it's enormous. That's normally where giants appear in our lives. It's in the valley, and they work to try to produce fear, don't they? In the valley of sickness, in the valley of decision, in the valley of the unknown. Now, it was David that wrote Psalm 23, and he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He knew in that valley from experience that that's where these giants appear. And he said, I'm not going to fear any evil because you're with me, God. And we can say the same thing. Amen. If you are facing a giant in your life right now and fear is trying to get a hold of you, then just put your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on God and say, I will not fear. I will not fear because you are with me. Now, the text takes us to Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, we find a father named Jesse. He has some sons there. Three of the oldest sons go to battle, and little David, he stays behind. He's taking care of his father's sheep. One day, Jesse sent David to go check on his brothers, and he said, I want you to go check on your brothers and find out how they're doing. And he said, take them this food, and then take the captains of the thousand, take them some cheese. So David went up there and to check on his brothers, and while he was there, he hears this giant defying the armies of the living God and shouting and screaming, and he just gets upset about this. Why is he doing that, and why is he allowed to do that? What a difference perspective can make. The army of Israel saw a giant. They saw a man defying, they saw a big man defying the armies of the Almighty God. But not David. David saw much more than that, didn't he? He did. He saw God. He saw God come and to rescue his people. And he rose up and just want to know what's happening here. So he starts asking these questions, and then we know that it's reported to King Saul, and King Saul sends for him, and he asks him, you know, tell me what's going on, and David says, I'll go fight him. Saul replies, don't be ridiculous. You're just a youth, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 36. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. So Saul finally agreed to allow David to fight against Goliath. And then we're going to read some more of this story here. 1 Samuel 17:40 through 51. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine with that slew him. But there was no, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Isn't that awesome? That is an amazing story of a fearless young man that came against a giant, but his faith and his confidence was in Almighty God. The army of Israel won the battle that day because a young man, David, a young shepherd boy, he saw a victory because he had faith enough to just believe, Brother Reaver, that God was big enough and he was great enough to defeat a Goliath. And you know what? He's still doing that today, isn't he? How many of you have had your God, your Almighty God, to win battles for you? Can you just raise your hand? Amen. Amen. And as I kind of goes through I'm going to go through some different steps here. I want you to think about those past victories, those past giants that you faced and God helped give you victory. And then I want you to think about those giants you may be facing right now, because God's going to give us victory tonight. He's come ahead of us to do that. What can we glean from this story to see a victory? Number one, the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, it does. Verse 47, David tells Goliath, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David is declaring victory. This battle belongs to God, and we're going to see a victory. While the army of Israel saw captivity, they saw defeat, they saw a giant, David saw freedom, he saw victory, and he saw his God. No matter how huge this giant is that you're facing, you do not have to be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice it wasn't just his size. It wasn't just the large place, that valley that he was in, but it was his words. And that's what happens nowadays. Those words of fear, those words of intimidation, those words try to get in our head and keep us held back. But you know what David did? He wasn't like the army of Israel that just was onlookers and looked upon the army that was back there in Goliath. But what did he do? He spoke back. He just made some declarations, and that's what we have to do. 2 Timothy 1:7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit spirit of fear. That lets us know that that's a spirit that comes against us. And then it goes on to say, but a power. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We just need to get a hold of that power and use it and take the authority that we have. And then it says, and of love and of a sound mind. God wants us to have a mind that's at rest and a mind that's at peace. He doesn't want us to lie down and be fearful. He doesn't want to go throughout our day thinking about these situations and being afraid and fearful. He wants our mind to be sound. And then Psalm 33:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What did he do? He sought the Lord. I'm not going to let these circumstances corral me. I'm going to seek the Lord and he's going to hear me and he's going to deliver me from all my fears. You know, a lot of times we like to put this in a category. Well, yeah, God can take care of this giant and he can take care of this one, but not that one. That one's too big. That one's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He can't handle that. Oh, yes, he can. He can handle every giant, the littlest one to the tallest one. He can and he will. And then what do we need to do? We need to just leave it in the name of Jesus. Go after it and leave it in the name of Jesus. Be persistent, number three. Don't back down. Don't give up. Sometimes we don't face just one giant, do we? It's many giants, or several giants. Think about it. You might face an illness, and maybe there's lots of ups and downs with that illness, or other situations. And before, you know, you get too far into it, it's many giants you're facing, and then you feel like, I'm surrounded by many giants. But the truth of the matter is, no. You are surrounded by God. He is your shield. He is helping you. He is helping you. Now, see, before David even faced Goliath, he had to face two other giants. He faced two giants of criticism before he fought Goliath. His oldest brother, David's oldest brother, accused him of having pride and naughtiness in his heart. When David came up to ask all the questions and he heard him asking those questions, it says that he got angry and he wanted to know, you know, what are you doing? And he accused him of having pride and naughtiness in his heart. And David answers and he says, you know, he says, isn't there a cause? What now? Isn't there a cause? And then we see Saul, he told David he couldn't fight Goliath because he was just a youth and Goliath had been a man of war from his youth. Their words of discouragement did not cause David to give up. He understood that their opinion of him wasn't as important as God's opinion. And if we're going to defeat these Goliaths in our lives, we have to understand that. I can't listen to all man's opinions of me. I can't do that because that's going to stop me. That's going to hinder me. That's going to keep me from going forth to this battle that I'm supposed to be facing, my giant. David knew that he had a purpose. He understood that God called him evidently because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God and he could feel that unction of God. And so he persisted. And then think about it. This older brother, Eliab is his name. He was the one that they thought when they came to anoint Jesse's sons, everyone thought it was going to be him because he was the oldest. Because of his stature, he reminded them of Saul. So they thought that he was going to be the one. And that's when God said, no, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. God knew David's heart. He said, David was a man after mine own heart. And that anointing had already taken place before this incident here. So David knew what God thought about him and he was ready to persevere and be persistent. Can I tell you tonight that there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper? Not one weapon. And I'm telling you, those weapons are real. Those giants are real. But our God is greater and our God is more powerful and he has the final word on everything. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 3:31-6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, and he will not forsake thee. Your God will not fail. He was chosen. David was chosen to fight Goliath. He was chosen, and you are chosen. You have a purpose. God knows your name, and you are chosen. And I want you tonight to think about, what does God think about you? What does God think? think about? What are his thoughts about you? Oh, he loves you. He is for you. He's not against you. And he is going with you on this journey of life. Number four, God is on your side. He is your shield. Verse 42, the man that bare the shield went before Goliath. He had a shield bearer. Goliath thought he was fighting against a young boy alone, but David was shielded by his all-powerful, invisible God. Oh, God went before David that day. He is our shield, church, and he is going before us. Psalm 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory. You're the lifter up of my head. See, the word of God is powerful, and we need to use that word of God when we go through these battles and just quote them and declare them. Oh, God, you are my shield. Number five, remember past testimonies. Verse 37, David told Saul that God had delivered him out of the paw of both the lion and the bear, and he would deliver him from the hand of this Philistine too. 2 Samuel 22:2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Now this is David, and he's saying this after this fight was already won. He was saying this when he was in a fight with Saul, and he's still declaring the goodness and the delivering power of God. He's saying, the Lord is my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliver. And if you keep reading, he's just saying other good things about his God. He's my shield. And what's he doing again? He's declaring it, and he's looking back at these past testimonies. Church, look back at your past testimonies. Every one of you has a past testimony. You have testimonies all throughout your life that God has taken care of you and protected you and fought for you. Amen. Amen. Face your giant. Number six, verse 35, David tells Saul, when the lion and the bear took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after them. Verse 45, David told Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He went out after him. He came. He didn't stay behind. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't hiding. He came. He faced his giant. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go after that giant, because if you don't go after that giant's just going to keep popping its head up. A lot of times we think, well, I'm just going to put it behind me. I'll just put it on a shelf. I'm not going to deal with that. I guarantee you, if you do not deal with it, it's going to pop up again. You're going to deal with it, whether you want to or not. And how do we go after that giant? How do we do that? We go in the name of the Lord. I go in the name of the Lord. Why? Because we know at the name of Jesus, even demons flee. They tremble. They leave. Yes, we go in the name of the Lord. Paul instructs us to put on the armor of God daily. Part of this army is the word of God. It's the sword. It's a sword. Use your weapon. Use that sword when you're going against these giants. The word will not return void. That's why I chose to read all these scriptures. And I know it was long and I know it was lengthy. But that word of God is a lot more powerful than me up here trying to give my thoughts and my opinions, right? The word of God gets in our hearts and it pierces our hearts. And it speaks to us. So when you're facing these giants, go after it and just pray. Whatever you need to pray, if it's fear, just say, fear, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I lose peace in this home. If it's a tormenting spirit, you have to leave. You have no hold on me. I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I cannot count them many times in that Sunday school class with Elder Sister Williford, and she taught us ladies to do that. And as an elder, a mighty warrior in this truth, would say she'd just be doing her housework at home, and the devil would come in and try to just agitate her and aggravate her. She would literally open that door up and tell him, you leave. You get out of here. You don't belong here. I'm telling you what, I've done that many times in my life, and I will continue to do that many times in my life, because I know that that enemy, that giant, will try to lift his head up. As long as we're living, there's going to be some type of a battle. So pray the word, and then trust in God's timing. He's in the waiting. That's one of the hardest parts, isn't it? We know God can do it. We know God's going to do it. But how long, God? How long? They waited 40 days. He screamed and he agitated and aggravated and taunted them for 40 days and nights. When God said that's enough, he sent David to defeat Goliath. Israel witnessed a victory that day. God said, that's enough. I'm sending my little servant, my little shepherd boy, and he's going to fight, and I'm going to go ahead of him. I'm going to be the shield, and there's going to be a victory this day. Psalm 18 and 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. And I want you to grab a hold of that. As for God, his way is perfect. What does the Bible say? His ways, not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? So we can't think with this human mind and figure it out, because God is so much higher and so much greater than our thoughts. But they're perfect. Does that mean every battle we face? Yes. Everything that we go through? Yes. The timing? Yes. His ways are perfect. The New Living Translation says it like this. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. Oh, I'm so thankful I know him. We've been going through a journey for 3 years. And I thought he would have saved the day a long time ago. But you know what? God's timing is perfect. And I trust him. Why? Because his word has proven to be true time and time again. I got permission to share this testimony with you. And I'm going to share Sarah's testimony. She faced a giant on June 18th. And that was with a withered hand. We know her testimony. A lot of us witnessed that testimony and that miracle that day, that Sunday morning. But Sarah didn't just face the giant of a withered hand. She faced the giant of fear, the giant of doubt, the giant of intimidation, the giant of discouragement. She faced all those along that journey before she got her victory. So I'm going to share this story, and I've asked Jay if I could share the story, because it's just going to kind of bring home David and Goliath's story a little bit better in our day and time. So on that morning, Sarah was sitting over here, and she was in probably the worst pain that she had been on that whole journey. Doctors couldn't give her a lot of hope, and she was growing worse. She had been prayed for so many times and left the altar not healed, and she was discouraged. Just before this miracle took place, she was in Branson and had a cuisine tournament, and she just knew God was going to heal her. And her prayer was so all those little babies could be a part of that healing and they could witness the glory of God. But God didn't think it was time. Obviously, it wasn't the day. It wasn't the time. So when she came on that Sunday morning, it's amazing, because if you know kind of behind the scenes, God was already preparing that day. That's what David said for the victory this day. God was already preparing her day. In our ladies class, we had a lesson in there that God wanted to do a new thing. Thank God for all the miracles, but he wanted to do a new thing. He wanted to do a miracle on that day. So we encouraged the ladies when they came out here to just get lost in the spirit, walk back and forth, get out of your comfort zone, do something unusual that you normally don't do to create the atmosphere for a miracle. Little did we know that God was going to give Brother Luke a message on miracles that day. Okay, so that's kind of the background preparation of this day. And then Javen is on the organ. He's playing the organ, and he looks out there, and he sees Sarah in so much pain. And he said immediately he felt compassion, and he felt like, I need to go pray for her. Like God was telling him, go pray for her. And, of course, the giants of intimidation, oh, that's just your cousin. That's just you. No. So he was defeated. He allowed it to defeat him. For the moment, he played a little bit more. The music was going, worship was going, and the Lord told him again, go pray for her. And he's ready to go again, but he says, oh no, this is an outward miracle. If I get off the platform and I go down there, everybody's going to see when I get finished praying if she doesn't get healed. So he didn't do it again. So after he played the organ, he actually came over and sat down by me, and I could just hear when Brother Luke was preaching that message on miracles. He had just started. Something started happening with Javen. In fact, I don't think, Jay, I've ever seen God moving you through faith like that ever, that I can't remember. And all of a sudden, his faith just starts reaching out, and he's, amen, and that's right. And I mean, he is just, that faith is just moving forth. And then what I didn't know until later was he told God, he said, God, I don't want my cousin to miss a miracle because of me. So give me another chance, God. If you're really wanting to do a miracle, would you just let me know again? And of course, the message starts stirring him, and then God gives him a vision. He said, Javen, do you believe I can heal the lame? And Javen witnessed the lame jumping up. Do you believe I could heal the blind? He saw that healing. Do you believe I can move a mountain? He saw the mountain move. And he said, Javen, do you believe I can heal a withered hand? And he said, immediately he saw himself over there praying for Sarah. And he said, Mom, it wasn't like I could see her hand withered up like this. I could see inside the tendons, the muscle, the bone, and God showed me what to do and how to straighten it up. God wants victory, church. How many times do we come into the house of God and that spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear, the spirit of sitting in your comfort zone comes against us and we don't get to see a victory because we're not going forward in faith? And you know what? This was in the house of God, Sister Amber. It wasn't in the valley. It wasn't out there. It was here in the house of God. So what do we have to do even in here when those things of doubt comes and discouragement comes? We have to fight through it, and we have to go with the power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ in Nazareth and go after those miracles. Why? Because the battle doesn't just belong to the person. It's belonging to all of us. We are united. We are family. We are the army of the living God. And when they receive their victory, we're a part. We get to be a part of that victory. Sister Christy, if you can come on up and play softly. That, so as Javen sees that, he jumps up and practically starts running. Sarah sees him coming. Doubt comes. Fear comes. And in her mind, she says, oh no, Javen's coming for me. What's she thinking? Here we go again. I've been prayed for so many times. Here we go again. I'm not going to get my miracle, and I'm going to leave discouraged. We have a God that knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows our flesh. So what does he do? He sends our brothers and he sends our sisters to come alongside us and strengthen us. She said when Javen came over there, he was so full of the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, and he was asking her questions and she's just nodding yes. She didn't even know half of what he was saying. She was just agreeing. Well, he told her what he needed to do. He said, I'm going to take your fingers and I'm going to open them up. And in her mind, she's like, no, because she knew when the doctors did that horrific pain. And she's like, no. And she said, Javen was just so persistent and so full of the Holy Ghost. She finally said, okay, God, I release it. If you are facing a giant right now, and you have dealt with fear and doubt and worry and intimidation and all those things, let that stuff go. Let that stuff go. Do you know, so many times we think, what am I going to do if this doesn't happen? How about let's start thinking, what am I going to do when this does happen? What am I going to do when I do get my miracle? When I do get my victory? When I do get my healing? For her, you know what it did? She was on the computer a lot. She likes to do crafts. It hindered her every day living. But God said, that's enough. That's enough. And then the beautiful thing of this story is, while Jay's praying and church, everybody's feeling that love and compassion. We all want to see this miracle, and a lot of us are joining in. Sarah says part of the healing took place and then it just like stopped in a certain spot. And so she said, God, would you please just let somebody touch me at that spot. And immediately Sister Shirley Smith put her hand on that spot, and the healing was done in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, it was done. And what I love about that is we have an elder that's working, Sister Smith. We have Javen, a younger one that's working. We have people unite all of God uses all ages. But what does he do in our ages? What does the enemy do? He tries to come with intimidation. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get your miracle. He fights all ages with that. Lay that down tonight, will you? Just lay that doubt. Lay that fear down. I'm asking at the closing of this, if you would stand. I already felt in my spirit, I have been praying over this message, reading this story over and over, seeking the face of God for what he wants to do tonight. And the Lord told me, he said, there are a lot of people that's going to be watching or sitting there tonight that are facing battles. And a lot of them, we're going to know their battles because they've been given prayer requests and we're fighting for them and we know them. But he said, there's also going to be people that are fighting secret battles that nobody but he knows about. God has come today to bring victory. God has come today to bring deliverance. God has come today to do a new thing. And then number 8, give God the glory for the victory. Verse 46, David declared, on this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and all the earth is going to know that there is a God in Israel. When you give your victory report and you give God the glory, all your friends, all your family, all the earth is going to know that there is a God, and he reigns in majesty and power. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Yes, just go ahead. Just worship him, praise him, and thank him. Oh, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord. The very next night, that night that Sarah got her healing, I happened to be a praise singer up here. And I'm going to tell you, church, I couldn't contain myself. When I saw her sitting out there and she was putting those hands together, clapping those hands, I got so excited for her victory. Let me tell you, when you get your victory, we're going to rejoice with you too. We're going to get so excited because your God and our God has performed a victory. He is great and he is mighty and he is powerful. You see, Sarah, she faced that giant for 44 days. 44 days. Some of you have faced giants a lot longer than that. But the same God that gave her victory can give you victory. We've been praying and praying and praying for Mom Brady, Sandra Brady. And all along this journey, she kept telling me, Susie, I want my healing and I want it bad. But I really want it. Because I want to give God glory and I want to tell all my friends and all my family what God has done for me. And both of those ladies have done that. They got right on social media and they just started giving God glory for what he has done. So right now, if you're facing a battle, I want you just to lift your hand. Anybody facing a battle? And I know we can't go one to get other physically, but leave your hand up. Hands all over this place. I know God has come tonight, this day, to give victory. So church, I'm wanting to look around. The ones that has their hands raised, let's pray for each one of these and then just pray for everyone. There may be some fighting the secret battles they don't want you to know about. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you. Thank you. of this message. Psalm 150 and 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're here tonight, you're alive. You have breath in your bodies. If you're watching live stream, you're alive. You have breath in your bodies. Give God the praise. That's how the victory's won. Yes. Church, get ready. Get ready, because we're going to be hearing them. We're going to be hearing all these great reports. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen.
Let's thank you, Jesus. Let's just continue to give him one more hand clap of praise. Lord, we thank you for fighting our battles, Jesus. We thank you for going before us, God. It doesn't matter the size, it doesn't matter how deep the valley is, God, how far it's been since we've had a victory. God, you are here for us, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're on our behalf, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Sue, for that, those words of faith, those words of encouragement. I think I'm guilty of a little bit of the opposite. For me, the bigger the stuff, it's easier to give to him. I got a huge mountain. I got whatever. God, I know I can't take care of it. Here you go. But it's the everyday little battles. Maybe it's the sickness. Maybe it's the financial battle. Maybe it's just, you know, just a situation that I, you know what? It bogs me down because, oh, I got to deal with that. I got to deal with the stress of work. I got to deal with all that. And that's where I have to work on, okay, God, as much as he cares about the big things, he cares about those little things too. Amen. And thank you, Sister Sue, for your heart. It's always easier, I will say, to take that, to hear those when you know people are fighting their own battles and it is true to them. Amen. You may be seated this evening.